lots of hair. Okay. Oof. Let's see. What's going on today? How are ya?
I'm good.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, God.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Who's Impressed. My name is Alita, your hostiest with the mostiest.
Must research.
And today we have Bianca.
Hello.
She's laying on the couch.
Because the couch is comfortable and it's trying to own me.
Oh, dear.
And it wants me as one of its own.
Oh, dear. Okay. So, So, let's just put it like this. Today is not a history of episode. This is basically a discussion episode. And what's our topic for today?
We are talking about the Umbrella Academy and some background on it.
Well, it's a little bit of background.
A little bit.
Because we ain't going to be talking about, we're not going to go into, it all started when on a stormy night and at a concert in Vancouver. We're not going to do the Byron.
Percy Shelley, Mary Shelley, let's create a horror story and oh look what happens after that.
Yeah, we don't got time for that.
No, but we are going to talk a little bit, I'm sure, about, of course, the concept.
Yes.
And who wrote it, so we're going to need a little bit behind who wrote it so that we can at least get an idea of where this person's mind was when they created this thing.
So the Umbrella Academy is written by Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance. We have Gabriel Ba as the penciler. He's best known for Casanova and Day Trippers. Then we have Dave Stewart as a colorist. You've seen his work in Walking Dead. Day Trippers by Gabriel Ba and his brother Fabio Moon. By the way, they're both twinsies, by the way. And then Josh Whedon's Frey and Ultimate X-Men and Ultimate Fantastic Four. And there's like a whole list that he's been coloring.
So pretty much this dude in a color pencil box go way back like Brother Black.
Well, actually, like the little digital art studio.
You gotta start somewhere.
Okay. Stop being technical, Alita. Stop.
Yes, please.
All right, okay.
I am a simple muffin.
All right, okay. So,
I'm a fairy bursary muffin.
Yes, well, whatever. Okay, muffin? You got muffins right there, don't you?
Yes, I say I'm a fairy bursary muffin. Anyone knows
muffins.
The fairy, very obvious. I am a magical ball of fluff, but I'm a horrible tasting one. So, I'm a fairy bursary muffin.
So, you're squishy?
And you shall ever be known my squishy. Actually, that's what I call my boyfriend.
Oh, see. Okay.
Sorry, Squish. You've just been named.
So, it's published by Dark Horse. And, you know, Dark Horse, they're...
Big name in anime.
Big name in
publishing of different
comic books. They do an anime. Not anime, excuse me. Manga. They're published the... the stateside publisher for Berserk, which is my joint.
Yes, and so, all of his gruesomeness within first five pages of opening.
Yes, I love it. Okay, so let's see. So let's talk about the Apocalypse Suite. Okay, so the Umbrella Academy, let's just talk about really what it's about. It's basically a dysfunctional family of weird ass superheroes.
And correct me if I'm wrong, please. From what I'm seeing, it was like 20 or 40 some kids that were born with powers, but then they found only like 6 or 7 of them.
Well, actually, it was, let's see, so it was 47 extraordinary children were spontaneously born by women who didn't have, like, any signs of pregnancy. So, but this millionaire inventor, Reginald Hargreaves, adopted 7 of the children. So there's probably some more kids out there. But
yeah, he said he only could find that many.
Oh, that's what you said?
I think it wasn't. I'm too lazy to get my phone.
Okay, so.
Either way.
But they said, but when asked why, his only explanation was to save the world. And that's what.
And when they asked, what do you mean from what and everything, he just didn't say nothing else. Like, he just.
He said, okay, let's take these kids and go away. And then throughout the childhood, the 7 went off and they had, like, missions, and they had to use their little special powers. And what I didn't really understand, which I didn't quite understand, like, how did he even know they had special powers, like, as babies?
Well, here's the thing. I don't know. It was in the first one I was reading, it was bringing up the fact that Reginald Hargreaves actually wasn't a human.
Right. He was spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be chock full of spoilers, probably.
Yeah, so I'm sorry. This is once again, like we mentioned on the Inuyasha episode. If you haven't read it, we're sorry. We're going to spoil it. Because basically, this is just a discussion. We're not going to be going all
in the backstory, but we definitely are touching on some different
parts. Yeah, he's an alien in disguise.
Which, if he's an alien in disguise, I have to say, I probably think he has some...
something to do with that phenomenon.
I would have that as my suspicion, honestly.
Right.
You knew that 20, that some, 40 some kids was going to be born, parents with no pregnancy, and you knew to go adopt these kids specifically. Mm-hmm. And all these babies had masks on their face. You just knew right away that is what you're, this is going to be my kid.
Yeah.
1 of 7. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just
some suspicions right there.
You know, all right, let's talk about the apocalypse suite. The first issue, The Day the Eiffel Tower Went Berserk, was published September 19, 2007. Yeah, it was a lot going on.
It really was. I mean, I think what it is the clarification and the definition of the characters is very...
vague.
Loose, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like you understand that there's 7 kids, you understand, like, here's these pieces and parts, but it jumps around a lot. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't give you any clarification. Mm-hmm. And even when you read, you know, the first series versus the second series, mm-hmm. you still don't get a lot of clarification.
You don't, and that's what makes me wonder, is like, is Wade getting ready to, continue the backstory in the third volume that's supposed to be coming out this year?
Right. Like, are you going to give us something more in depth? Are you going to give us something to sink our teeth in? Because as of right now, yeah.
And then also, the plot itself is not very balanced at all.
Oh, no.
It's like,
no.
Yeah, it's...
lots of action, lots of gore, but question is...
what's the story, man?
Right, because you keep bringing up apocalypse and destruction... you don't
an apocalypse suite.
She hit the rewind button, y'all. This is what this is.
I got so tongue-tied. Wait.
She's going to let the tape record the VCR.
So, an apocalypse suite. I forget the orchestra leader's name, but he... there's this orchestra piece that brings on the end of the world, and I'm like, but why are we ending the world, and how did you know to... that's because of the Monocle's notes. Who is Reginald Hargreaves, by the way? Because I guess he had gotten a hold of his notes, correct?
I thought that they were the same person. Apparently, I'm very mistaken.
What, the composer? Not the composer, I mean the orchestra leader?
No, the Monocle and Reginald Hargreaves.
Yeah, they are the same person. But okay,
thank God, I was getting confused.
I was talking about...
the maestro.
Yeah, that maestro.
The maestro and the notes, yes, he did get a hold of...
so that's notes. How he knew... okay, so that's how he knew this. What I'm getting ready to mention next. So... I'm very vague. You know, I'm kind of like vague on where the storyline is kind of going.
So it's gonna be a trip down a rabbit hole for us all.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I think this whole episode is an entire first impressions of something.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. This is an episode of first impressions. We're like, what?
Where you're trying to get an understanding of what you're seeing. It's not like, I think this is going to be unlike any of the other first impressions I think we ever touch on.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this case, it's more along lines of, you're looking at a perspective. Is like, you know who the person is who wrote it. You understand a little bit of his inner workings.
Mm-hmm.
From his music. But in terms of his writing process, it makes me wonder how the hell My Chemical Romance got this far.
I don't know.
If this is the, I wonder, and I, again, MCR fans, please note, I do like the band. Please note, this is no way me bashing Mr. Way at all. This is me just trying to figure out what in the crap I just was reading. I'm just keeping, I'm going to be real with you.
Wait, there's silence.
I was like, just trying to figure it out. I'm pulling it back up because I like the artwork.
Mm-hmm. Artwork's awesome because, you know, Gabriel Ba, you know, he's won, like, Eisner Awards, and, you know, he's like,
he's really in depth, and he's very graphic in how he's,
oh, yeah,
this art is. But the storyline is so vague. It's almost like it's a conundrum to me. Mm-hmm. Because the artwork makes the story better than what it seems.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking, yeah.
And what makes it worse is if the writing was more complete, I believe I would be much, if the writing was more complete, I believe it would fit the artwork better. Mm-hmm. But because it's so, the wording is so vague or so loose at points,
mm-hmm,
I'm having a hard time connecting the storyline with the artwork.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going, what am I dealing with here?
And it's just, it's really, yeah, because like initially when I like first read it, I had to read it a few times just to kind of understand. And then also, not only that, I had to go look on the Wikia to kind of get more of a better background on what's going on.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's not a good thing if I had to go look at the Wiki.
Wiki to get an idea of where you're, mm-hmm, what you're supposed to be, mm-hmm, reading. That should have been clear if you're reading it and it's thought out well or connected well.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't need Wikipedia and Wikia to tie knots together. Right. Tie up all your loose ends.
And
so
it
you
makes
have an
me
idea.
Wonder, I think I had mentioned this to you before, like before we actually started recording, that was, like, any of this information, like, available in the short stories that Way had created?
Yeah, I wonder, because to me it seems like if you have this many plot holes, there's got to be some type of... Now, this is probably one of those mangas that need...
Comics, my dear. We're on comics now.
In my brain right this second. Because you got to bear with me. The Inuyasha set is still fresh in my brain cells.
Okay, I understand.
Because we've been talking about, that was four pages of mangaka work there.
Yeah.
Bear with me. But in this comic, I believe the biggest thing is, this is one I think would need fillers.
Mm-hmm.
You almost would need, I can truly say, if they put this to ever put it to animation,
mm-hmm,
this will be the first time I say that a show needed a filler arc.
Yeah, it would.
To connect the dots, because you go think of any anime, you don't need filler arcs. You need to remove them.
Right.
But this, just reading this, I'm starting to wonder if filler chapters.
And I believe that's probably what's going to end up happening.
They're going to need to.
When the Netflix series, the live action Netflix series is going to be released, it'll probably have to have like a lot of fleshing out to do.
They better go borrow Mjolnir to go ahead and hammer it all out, because they're going to need it.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
I'm sorry. It's going to be real here.
So the issues, there were six issues in total of the Apocalypse Suite. Let's see. There are, so in the collected edition, there are 184 pages, and that was published June 18th, 2008. Wei has stated that his influences on this piece would be Grant Morrison. If you all are like comic nerds, you all just know who Grant Morrison is. That's all you gotta say, Grant Morrison, Grant Morrison.
And it's like 90 people go, we collectively understand.
Yes, that's what
and me over here, I'm going, what?
I don't like this. Yes, Grant Morrison. I'm like, you were like, Bianca would probably like, I don't understand. Like, I don't.
cannot compute. Delete.
Yeah, he's known for lots of things. He Doom Patrol with DC, and Wei has also stated that
Pat and that Mac,
and it just ran all together. So
I understood this one.
So Pat McEwen of Zombie World was another influence. Yeah, and there's Edvin. See, I'm getting ready to screw it up.
Bjokovic.
Thank you, my dear. See?
Apparently I have some use here.
Yes. It said he was his all-time favorite artist, and that... And that quote, his Grendel tales are like my Bible to draw from. So, the Apocalypse Suite was rather well received. It won an 08 Eisner Award for Best Limited Series, which is actually pretty awesome, because that's like the echelon of comic book awards. I'm sure like a few of my friends who are comic book artists, they're probably like, dude, we so want to win an Eisner Award. So, and then also the deluxe reprint was nominated for Best Graphic Album.
So, okay.
Yeah, so that was
a very nice year, right?
Yeah, that was in 09 though. But that was just pretty cool. So overall, about the Apocalypse Suite, what did you think about that?
Okay. Uh-huh. That when you get someone where they have that at the beginning of their sentence, you know, they are formulating.
Oh, Lear. Lord.
overall, I find that it was okay in following it. I believe it made a little more sense than what I'm catching from the second half of this shenanigans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, second was different, but go ahead.
But the first one, I believe, he really, when it comes to the third series, if he does introduce it, mm-hmm. he's going to really need to do a backstory, because I shouldn't be getting confused at the characters between three pages in. I shouldn't be going mm-hmm. from when they were kids to when adults, and I can't get your gauge or your name. You're not introducing the characters in a way that you can keep up and follow them.
Right, because, you know, the first volume, you did understand where that was coming from, you know, because it started, 20 years before the actual time.
Right.
So,
you start 20 years in the past, so you're talking to the kids, mm-hmm. then you go 20 years in the present and future, but then you're saying 01 is being lived and called Space Boy. And then later, he's being called Luther. You're like, okay, time out.
Yeah, because it's like...
Cause we need you to fill the
because, thing. Like, okay, so folks, here's the thing. Okay, so let's introduce the characters.
Yeah, like, unlike him.
Okay, so the characters... Okay, so we have the Monocle, who is Reginald Hargraves, the millionaire... I'm going to call him multimillionaire because he's...
I thought it was like million or billionaire, something crazy.
I don't know. Well...
Worth a lot of money.
The rich dude. Okay, so the rich dude that adopted all these superpowered kids. Okay, mm-hmm. so we have 01. That's what they've been, you know, they actually like our name. So I'm just gonna say this. We're gonna call them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, so we have 1, whom we were calling Space Boy. He was like the leader of the pack. He was actually like the youngest person ever to go into space, but he ended up having like an accident.
A critical accident.
And
he was in critical condition, and then he ended up fused.
Yeah, his father ended up operating on him. They took him like a Martian ape and put his head on top of the Martian ape. So now he's half ape, half human.
Think of Earthworm Jim in a spacesuit. Instead of a worm, it's a human boy.
Yeah.
That's pretty much.
Yeah. So he goes by the name of, so his actual name is Luther. I'm just trying to figure out when they even get actual names. Because they were calling him 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yes!
I was confused by that. So number
two. Same.
Yeah, so number two, we have the Kraken. He can breathe underwater. For like a very long time, and he's kind of like, someone said that he was like the Batman to, I would say, Space Boy's Superman.
Pretty much, and they always are arguing.
Yeah, they have a big rivalry. Excuse me.
But then they also say it wasn't his skill, was knife throwing and all that loveliness too.
Mm-hmm. And he goes by the name Diego, and then we have.
It doesn't look like his name should be Diego.
Right.
He don't look like any Diego I've ever met, but we're going to go ahead and skip on past that part.
And then we have the Rumor. Her power is she's able to manipulate reality through what she says. So, like, she says a lie, or may say, like, hey, you have a dog on your foot, and then there's a dog on your foot. Or like in Dallas, she tells JFK, oh, Mr. President, I heard that the back of your head's gonna explode
and you were assassinated,
and then that's what ends up happening. So Allison is a divorcee and she has a daughter whom I can't figure out what her name is. All I know is that she has the daughter, and we don't see the daughter. And Space Boy is in love with Allison and vice versa. There you go. And then we have the Seance. He is about the craziest character.
This dude.
Out of all of them. Really?
This dude here. He is like a twice-baked potato. He is, when one episode, he's...
I love twice-baked potatoes, by the way.
They're delicious, but not when they're a human being. This dude, one comment he made was, I don't know if it's the gin talking or the ketamine. Another time he's referencing, he's like, I've been on speed for 3 days straight. Okay. No wonder you've been set in the loony bin.
Mm-hmm.
You are bat crap crazy, dude. And in his mind, he's a lot more... He's able to contact the spirits from the other side.
This is his power, by the way.
Yeah, his power is he's able to... He literally is... I won't say a necromancer, but...
They can possess him. And he gets able to...
He's a medium.
Yeah, he's a medium, right.
I couldn't think of the word for a minute. So, yes, he's able to be used as a medium, but... With all the drugs he's on... and alcohol...
It's kind of like... In a way, it's kind of like shamanism. Because, for instance, you know how sometimes shamans smoke something or they'll take something in order to go into a trance. So maybe that's kind of what he's doing a little bit.
But you take speed for 3 days to stay awake? That don't put you trance. That puts you in a coffin.
True. Maybe that's what he's going for.
Yeah, I would go, okay, I can agree. But he thinks he's so much more popular than what he is.
Mm.
Did you notice that in a couple of them they were talking to him?
Mm-hmm.
He comes hovering on in like he's just, I'm here.
Yeah, what's true, up?
And,
true.
Or he's getting pampered by a bunch of women and he's like,
oh, yeah.
I forgot like, this about better that. Be great. What? You are pasty and gray. What is on your mind today?
Yeah, he ain't no looker. That's for sure.
Not at all. There ain't no eye candy in this, I hate to say. The closest one is going to be the Kraken.
Yeah, he's fine.
He's actually possible.
He's fine. To me, he's foine, you know, in a comic book way. He's foine.
Mr. Ba, thank you for that.
Mwah, mwah, mwah.
No, I'm thanking people for good eye candy.
Yes. And then we have the boy.
Number four.
He is number five.
Who was four?
Seance. Never mind. The seance.
I lost track of the numbers.
Oh, Lord. Bianca losing track of numbers. So, seance is four.
His name is Klaus, right?
Yes, Klaus.
Klaus, okay.
Okay, so we have number five is the boy. And the boy is nameless. Okay, so the boy's power. I didn't quite understand what his power was.
I think he had the ability to alter time.
That's right.
He, I believe, was the power of altering time, but what I wasn't clear on is when he thought he was running away to the future, because he said if he goes in the future, he was told he'll never be able to come back to the past. My question then is, A, how did you find out if he goes to the future, he'll never be able to go back to the past? And is that something similar to if he goes to the past, he can never return to the future?
That's the issue about the writing.
Yeah, there's
overall there's a lot of plot holes.
There's going gaps. On here. There's bigger gaps than what's in my teeth right now, and I have questions.
And I got a lot of them too. So.
Yeah, I got this one's bigger than your front tooth, babe. Sorry.
Well, hey, I need braces.
So do I.
But we should go get them together. We can have a matching set.
Oh God,
of braces.
I'm just terrified to see how much they're gonna see what's wrong with my mouth.
Right.
They're
gonna be like, too. I haven't been to dentist in a long time. Okay, let's move on.
Can I go back in time and fix my teeth earlier?
Yeah.
Can I borrow him for just a little time?
Come on, nameless little boy.
I'll give you a name.
Let's name him. What should we call him?
Harmon. Because he harms men.
Oh, there we go. Harmon.
Harmon Hargraves. There you go.
There we go. H-H. Okay.
Start sounding like Rick Ross in here. But I had a question about that. So the
boy, what's up?
About the boy. It probably was going to go.
So the boy can't grow up.
Well, he can't grow up because he's technically been altered.
Right.
Alternus.
Yes.
He's been altered, so he would never age. He's been pretty much given like mass murder and assassin DNA implanted. So he's like freaking kill shot.
Right.
From one of the DC or Marvel universes. I don't know crap about comics. I just remember seeing bits and pieces. I'm just here for the ride. But
hey, you know, hey, I understand.
But there's plot holes with him because then you really don't see, you know, when he gets back, he's six, like 60 years, 20, 30 years in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, at that point, no. He'd probably have to be 30 years in the future almost.
I don't know. I was trying to look that up. I kind of missed that a bit.
Because remember, that's where the confusion is.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you this is 20 years in the past, so they're about 8 years old. 20 years in the future puts them at about 28 years old. 20 years future,
right? Okay.
But he doesn't return until 3 days prior to the passing of Reginald Hargraves.
Right.
Which just puts you in the point of how far in the future did he actually have to go? When did he run away?
Okay. Right. We forgot to mention what actually went on in Apocalypse Suite. So
I think we were going through the characters first, weren't we?
Yeah. We'll touch on that after we finish with the characters.
Yeah, because there's so many of them that's going to be important in Apocalypse Suite anyway.
Okay. So then six is the horror, and the horror has passed away. We don't know anything about the horror besides the fact that his power, he's able to do like project stuff or something like that.
Hell, at one point I thought he was the Kraken because dude had freaking tentacles coming out of his
exactly
stomach.
Right.
I thought we were dealing with some damn shipwreck things here.
Right, I was confused by that, but he's called the horror, and he goes by the name of, he went by the name of Ben. He passed away.
We'll connect the dots later.
At the manor, there's like this memorial statue of Ben with the tentacles coming out. And then we have number seven.
This poor child.
Yeah. She's like the one I feel so sorry for.
Her name is Vanya.
Vanna.
I thought it was V-A-Y-N-A.
That's Vanna. Isn't that Vanna?
I don't know. I have no clue.
Her name's Vanna.
Vanna, Vanya, whatever.
Yeah, Vanna.
With me. Whatever.
Okay, so number seven is the white violin. She goes by, but her name is, technically.
It's V-A-N-Y, but that's Vanya. I don't know.
That's Vanna.
We will look this up later.
Vanna, like in Vanna White.
And that's V-A-N-N-A.
Okay, never mind, dear.
Look here. We're not going to argue about
this. We're not going to have this pronunciation
battle right now. Battle. This is another time. But either way, she starts off in the I was about to say it comic. Again. Yeah, you could tell that was coming next. She starts off in a comic as pretty much not being allowed to fight. Mm-hmm. We don't know whether or not it's because, A, she was so loved by Hargraves that he believed she had another power that was important for some other purpose, or if she was just a useless turd.
Yeah, it was actually, I don't know about love, but he sensed that her power was dangerous. Because of the, cause remember, I mentioned the notes that the maestro had gotten a hand on. Mm-hmm. So, through music, the white violin is able to destruct.
Right, she was only transformed into the white violin after her own her adoptive family rejected her. Mm-hmm. Because somebody I know wrote a tell-all book.
Yes, Fanna.
She wrote a book. So Vanya wrote a book. Vanna. Vanya. You have a V-A-N-Y-A. Where's that? Because I don't see how Vanna is going to have a Y in there. But either way, she wrote a book mm-hmm. telling all about the things that were said and done to her. Pretty much she just kind of does one of those autobiographies.
Right, she does a LaToya Jackson.
Pretty much. Thank you. Even that's the best explaining bullshit.
But even though LaToya's book was full of shit, but that's another story in itself.
But we don't, that's a whole nother podcast.
We
got one, you'd have to flay that open with a fillet knife and just peel it back layer by layer. But, okay. But this chick, I mean, I kind of felt bad for her because everybody pretty much ignored her. To mm-hmm. me, she almost was like, hell, I can't even think of a character that's been this, like, sidelined in my life.
Harry Potter before he went to Hogwarts.
No, because even then, it ends up still around him. I truly think, you know what? I take that back. The best one, he's like the...
Who's he?
The Padma Patil. You see them, but you really don't even...
Just a nameless background
or character. Or Blaise Zambini. You know they're there, but you don't do hear think of them at all.
Yeah, so that's basically what the white violin was to the family. She was the one that nobody cares about. She was LaToya Jackson of the Hargraves.
Pretty much. It wasn't that she was talentless like LaToya. It wasn't that she was talentless. It's the fact that they really just didn't foster her character. Mm-hmm. They didn't foster her
at all. Except for Dr. Pogo. Yeah. And who was Dr. Pogo?
Dr. Pogo is a chimpanzee in which... He went through some medical experimentations as well. It just seems like medical experimentation is the main focus of this book.
Yeah, you know what? I'm one of those people that got freaked out by the island of Dr. Moreau. And I can't stand VB sections and people being fused and stuff together. And
oh, so this just worked your whole soul over.
And I'm like, I just can't stand that. I can't stand this experimentation.
So you just, this just messed your whole life up in a way.
Yeah, you know, it reminds you of Mangala and all this other crap. I just, yeah. Because the reason why, reason why I don't really like it because I know it happens in real life. I'm just putting it out there. People have been experimented on, okay?
Yeah. And the thing is this, it kind of does really make you wonder, like, what all experimentations were done.
A lot. If you ever, I'm serious, do some research on Mangala.
Oh, no, not on him. I know Mangala was crazy. I'm talking about in Umbrella Academy. I'm trying not to relive the real horrors. Okay. I'm just curious, like, because if everybody's background story is somebody was experimented on, it kind of makes you wonder, where was this all done that it was under everyone's noses, number one. Number two, kind of makes you wonder back to those parents, those mothers that showed no signs of being pregnant. Like, were they part of a phenomena of UFO abductees that's been probed and prodded on?
And maybe that will be mentioned in this next volume that's coming.
We're hoping. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Well, let's see. So, who else? Other characters that we have. We have Mom, who is a living medical dummy. And I don't understand Mom. It seems like Diego has an issue with Mom.
I don't know what Mom has done in the past. I guess it's because of the fact that because Mom literally looks like a hoop skirt with the from hips up of a medical dummy who doesn't have any limbs unless she attaches almost like cybernetic limbs.
Well, she actually, it's like they just, I think she just gets pushed around or something. I don't know.
No, because they show her with, in one of them,
she's putting these arms on.
She has limbs.
Right.
But then that flips back to rumor. She's missing an arm. Please explain how she got two arms.
We don't know. Maybe Dr.
Pogo just went and said, let me add you an arm piece back.
Or the Monocle did. Remember, Monocle fixed Luther. So, let's say, who else we got in here? We have Inspector Lupo. He has rather close ties with the Hargreaves. And so let's go into really what the Umbrella. Really what the but the Umbrella Academy, let's start like really what the story is about. So basically, it's a dysfunctional family of superheroes. I already mentioned that. The story kind of starts at with the father's death. So all the kids come back for the funeral. Almost all of them. They all come back for the funeral. You know, it's a bunch of bull crap going on, and people are like, "Oh, ew,
what are you doing here? How are you back? Doing? This is what you do.
You're divorced now.
Pretty much family reunion when you ain't seen somebody in about 10 years,
right? So it's basically Umbrella Academy is set in an alternative timeline. So JFK was never assassinated in this timeline. Okay, so it's set in 1977, which is the year Gerard Way was born. Ha ha ha. Narcissism much? Ooh, I said it.
I don't know if that's narcissism.
I'm just joking.
Man, I don't know about that. Now, if he had put himself as a character.
Yeah, that's narcissism.
If he had been number one, I'd have been like this. Really, sir?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But at this, it's set in the academy pretty much. This is where he pretty much the training grounds.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of think of Professor Xavier's Academy and X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
Take them, train them, send them to protect the world. I mean, that's pretty much what happens. We take you in, we train you, protect the world.
That's exactly that's your graduating what it is, class. Yes. So, these are like they're the crackhead version of X-Men. There you go. That's terrible of me to say that. Oh my gosh, why did I say that? Okay.
Because you're honest and you don't believe in BSing people just because you're bored?
Yeah, pretty much.
See?
Exactly. Let's see.
The joys of Scorpios.
Yay! Because we're slightly assholes. We're just slightly, Scorpios.
Slightly.
We're kind of asshole-y.
It depends on which, but you all have a spectrum. You all have a spectrum assholism. It just all depends on if you're mild assholes or if you're just.
I have a nice asshole-ish about myself. I'm a nice asshole.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we're aware of it.
Yeah.
But we love you for it.
Yes.
Okay.
So what else happened in the comic book? So, basically, the families they're like at odds with each other. So the boy disappeared back in like 20 years before.
Who the hell knows?
Yeah, he disappeared and he came back.
But wait.
Yeah.
You just brought up something.
What's up?
He said he was 62 years old when he was brought back to his current, to the current time.
Right, because so he went far, 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 far in the future.
Exactly. So, if he went that far in the future, that means, oh, dear God, my head just started aching again. Where's my ibuprofen? If he went 60, okay, he was 60-some years old. He went into the future, got trapped, was trying to get his way out. Somehow, in the process of traveling back, got ambushed by the Tempest Alterna. Altered.
Nautilus. Whatever. We know.
Yeah, got altered. Yeah, hell, he got altered. And then I guess they said, here's the rest of your trip back.
Yeah, I was confused.
Yeah.
This is like the main thing about this episode. I could say we were confused. It's not like to say, I think somebody's probably listening right now saying that we didn't like it. It's more like we're trying to understand it more so than anything else. That's from my point.
Yeah, I wasn't disappointed. I mean, I wasn't disappointed per se. I was a little annoyed with the fact that I was trying to fill in the plot holes and didn't have enough dirt to fill it in.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like I was grasping parts of it, but then they would make a comment and I'd go almost
like, where'd that come from?
Like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like this thing with the 62 years and the boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really was not brought up as to when, where, how, why he ran away.
Right.
Why did you run away in the first place?
Because he was probably tired.
Well, if you're tired, you take a nap. You don't run the hell away 40 years in the future.
Hey, but you know, the thing is, what I remember about that he was... He had the mindset of a child at the time, obviously.
Yeah.
So, it seemed like maybe it would be something fun to do or just something to do. That was like the impression I had gotten. So, continuing on. So, the apocalypse sweep, I'm just going to run it down real quick. Mm-hmm. Vanna is like at odds with the family at the moment, and then she gets like ensnared by the maestro to participate in the apocalypse suite. So in order to awaken her powers, she got once again
altered,
and then she was awakened as the
white violin,
and just through one stroke, she's able to destroy everything. She's able to kill somebody with just one little
D minor.
Yep, one little D minor on her little violin. So that's like pretty much it. So she's trying to lead. After she kills the maestro, she wants to lead the orchestra into the
Verbenen Orchestra Verbenaten or something into
the end of the world music. And it's kind of like you say, what was that? I'm trying to think of that one piece, what they call the Devil's something. The
Devil's Trill.
Okay, yeah.
Yamina Masue played one.
It's an actual thing.
Oh, I know. But I was saying that's where I recognize it from.
The Devil's, what's it called though? Scared when I type in the Devil's Music. The Devil's...
What I'm seeing is the Devil's Trill by Tartini. Violin, Sonata, and G minor.
Yeah, that's right.
Let me see.
Well, you don't have to play it. Don't play it now. We don't know about that. We... Okay, you all guys wonder why that silence happened. I was over here doing like a special...
She over here looked like she literally looked like she was about to call a sign for the dugout in the Cleveland Indians game. Really,
blessing the place. I was blessing the place. My holy oil is upstairs. We don't got time to deal with no devil music. But anywho,
The fact in my face just looked at her for this comment. I'm just trying to understand this. But
we don't have time. We's children's of God up in this house.
Let me walk out the door before I set the whole house on fire.
Oh, Lord. Oh, God. Uh-oh. Somebody's coughing.
Choking to death.
See? The devil got in her.
It's called a drop of water, and unfortunately, you can't breathe and drink water at the same time.
Okay, okay, all right. All right, yes.
I'm gonna die on the low.
Oh, gosh.
This is when you know your brain has warped.
Oh, gosh.
And warp.
What was I gonna say? So, yeah, she's trying to lead the orchestra into the end of the world music piece suite. The apocalypse suite. So there she's trying to lead them into that, and the Umbrella Academy team stops the process. She gets shot in the head by the boy, and he tells her, he says at the end after he shoots her in the head, "You know what, Vanna? I never liked you." And I was like, "Well, thanks, little asshole."
But at the same time, when you tell Vanya this, what gets me is you're starting to run into the fact that A, number two, or is it number, is he number two?
What, the Kraken? Kraken? Yeah, two, yeah.
Yes, the Kraken is actually in love with her.
Right, that's what I forgot to mention, the Kraken's in love with
Vanya. So mm-hmm. It's kind of sad in a way because I don't feel that she should have been as disliked as she was.
And you know what, and that's all their fault.
Yeah, it's almost all of their fault.
And if I was really her, I really wouldn't have been bothered with them at all.
I know, and you know what? If you noticed during the funeral, she really wasn't going to come.
Right.
And that's the thing. She really was not going to come.
And I wouldn't have came.
But she only went. The only reason she went is because that massive explosion happened near the property.
Right.
She only went because she was just like, okay, wait.
And she actually cared about them.
She cares about them, but
more so than they didn't give a shit about her.
Most of them, yeah, most of them couldn't.
Except for Kraken.
Right. Kraken was the only one who was willing to. But you know what though? Mm-hmm. If you notice, everyone is kinda off put with the Kraken too.
Mm.
If you notice, everybody is like, you need to start running off by yourself, but he kinda distanced himself from the rest of them as well because look how you're treating each other.
Right. They suck. I'm one of those people that's like, okay, if you keep acting a fool or whatever, I'm just not going to be around you. I'll call it a great day. And I know some people like that at right now where I'm reevaluating, but.
She got her checklist out like, let's see.
Say bye, 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 bye girl, bye boy, bye.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. So.
The door. Put back the door.
Okay, so, at the end of the series, Vanna's like in terrible shape after being shot in the head. Vanna actually slit Rumor's throat during one of the scenes in the.
She suffered her vocal cords.
Yeah, her vocal cords.
So yeah, her power of being able to speak her lies or truth into existence,
yep. As
altering reality.
Yes.
Essentially, might have just got rid of her whole entire power.
Yep.
Go figure. But at this point, you know, we fast forward. I will say this. I wonder if they will make Rumor, if they're going to give back Vanya or the white violin, are they going to give her back her ability or her memories?
Uh-huh.
Or are they going to let her memories never completely?
I think that wouldn't be a good idea because after that surgery, her brain's become altered.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, her brain is a little mushy because she's thinking her and Rumor are like best of friends.
No, I mean, I'm talking about when she got altered altogether. Her mental facility, she's kind of crazy.
She's crazy. Well,
she went crazy after that. So I don't think it would be a good idea for her to even have her powers back at all. Like at all. But it might end up happening.
I guess season 3, we're going to have to get the third series here for us to figure this part out.
Which is called Hotel Oblivion, by the way.
Oblivion. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
She rolled her eyes, folks.
I mentally melted is the problem.
Oh, she melted. Okay.
I'm like, oh, Lord. Because I'm thinking Apocalypse Suite.
Uh-huh.
Dallas. And Hotel Oblivion.
Yeah.
So when you have names like the Apocalypse and Oblivion, are you trying to say Dallas is hell, pretty much?
What?
Because most of the titles, if you think about it, are they just saying Dallas by itself is just hell?
No, because that's where JFK's goodness been assassinated. That's why it's called Dallas.
Exactly.
Oh, Lord. I don't know. I got lost by that little...
Apocalypse Suite.
Uh-huh.
Dallas. Hotel Oblivion. So, are you saying if Dallas is where old buddy got killed, you got people trying to get killed in the first one, destruction of the world, kill off the president and alter the universe, and three, we have no clue, but with a name like Hotel Oblivion, possibly you're going to try to plunge the world into our darkness yet again. Are you saying Dallas is hell?
Well, the point of the apocalypse then, maybe. Like the beginning of the end? I don't know. Wait, my brain's too far away to even think about that at the moment. Sorry. But people on Twitter and on Instagram, if you hear this right now, let us know. Send us an email or something. I don't know.
She's like, plug it in. Say all of the, say the links.
At Who's Impressed. There you go. All right, so let's move on to the Umbrella Academy Dallas.
Oh, God.
Okay, so here we go. The team is despondent following the near apocalypse created by one of their own and the death of their beloved mentor, Pogo, because, by the way, Vanna used her powers to kill Dr. Pogo. It's a great time for another catastrophic event to rouse the team into action. Trouble is, each of the team is distracted by some very personal problems of their own.
That's normal.
Yeah. So the first issue, The Jungle, was published November 26, 2008, and the collected book was published September 30th, 2009, and it spanned 192 pages.
Wow.
So, in this second series, like the first, it was only six issues. We continue on from the last, but it's like, I think maybe like several months ahead, because Space Boy, they just call him Space, by the way. He's been eating himself into oblivion. He's fat.
He's in a Martian gorilla body. It ain't like he was gonna be that small to begin with.
But he didn't have a pot belly.
Yeah, he's mad because
he didn't have a big old pot belly. Okay.
I'm sorry, the cookies just came.
Imagine a big fat gorilla. That's what he is. Okay, so. This one was the confusing one because we have time travel is introduced a little bit more in this one. We get to know a little bit more about the duo, Hazel and Cha-Cha, or Cha-Cha and Hazel, either or.
Creepy as hell.
They're weird. It's funny enough, guess who's playing Cha-Cha in the TV show?
What?
Right. Mary J. Blige, right?
How?
I don't know.
How? Oh, God.
Mary J. Blige is playing Cha-Cha in the TV show. So this one, what's it called? The Temp?
Temp is Alternus.
Alternalis.
Alternalis.
Yes. Alternalis. The Temp Alternalis gets in contact with the boy, and the boy recruits the Rumor, and they all go off to go assassinate JFK. They go back in time to assassinate JFK because, like I mentioned before, In their timeline, JFK was never assassinated. So the rumor ends up disguised as Jackie Kennedy. She has an iconic pink outfit on, and she tells the president, "Mr. President, I heard a rumor that the back of your head's going to explode," and that's how it is. So that's how.
And then somehow you say fast forward to John Wells Booth with a freaking Derringer, but
yeah, I don't know, confused.
Very confused.
Because, this one was actually like the most unbalanced plot wise to me. And then of course, you know, I'm such a freaking puppy lover. Remember the little puppy? What they call him? Mr. Henny Penny or Whistle Penny or something like that? The puppy that the boy wanted to call the puppy.
No, you know what just made my brain went through my head?
What?
Every comic, every manga, every anime, they tell you when you go back in time, do not alter time.
Correct.
These are the most rule-breaking SOBs when it comes to time travel, okay?
Because it's that group with the guy with the fish. There's some dude, remember the dude with the fish tank on his head? That has, like, I guess it's a fish. Kind of like on American Dad.
And which his name is Klaus as well.
Oh, yes, right.
The fish's name is Klaus. Oh, dear God, I've got a problem now. But I'm just sitting here going, okay, I got a question. If you all are not supposed to be doing this, why is that the first thing everybody wants to alter in time?
Who knows?
It's like, y'all must, if y'all supposed to talk, I mean, because time alternatalist is equivalent to saying the time.
Wait, speak up.
I was just thinking, time. No, I was just thinking, like, time alternatalist meaning time, or time alternative or alternative time, I guess you could make logic of to why they change time, but why not just change that one piece and then slide out of there?
We have to ask Gerard Way that. I don't know.
I guess it's just because of the fact when you kind of think about it, you kind of gotta ask.
Yeah, I don't know. That's I've been saying that throughout the whole damn show. I don't know. What?
Like I tell people, I'm just here.
Hey guys, so here's the thing, folks are listening, who are listening right now. Pick up the Umbrella Academy. Maybe we all can have like a book club and we can have like a discussion. Like, what do you think this is about? Why do you think this is? And block, you know, stuff like that, because it would be interesting to know
your thoughts
on this.
I mean, I wonder, because I'm sure there's got to be at least one of y'all out here that's probably able to pull A and B together and somehow come out with C, D, E, and F, so the rest of us poor meat peons can figure it out too. Because truthfully, there is so, it's one of those series that I really am. Truthfully, this is probably why I don't mess around with most comics, because there's so many plot holes, there's so many different universes.
But this is a limited series, I would say. That point that you're making right now really doesn't matter unless it's probably like Marvel or something like that, when they have like, you know, Spider-Man and 10 different versions of Spider-Man and all this.
There's too many universes,
right? And that's why I really don't bother with that. But I do read stuff like Saga and Paper Girls, which is going to be an episode in the future, guys. Look out for that one. And like stuff that's like contained a bit.
But I'm just looking at the fact that even though this is contained, it kind of explodes outward too.
But that was the choice of the writer.
I know that, but that's what I'm saying. So was the Marvel Universes.
Well,
you had to just keep doing something to get more game.
Read Saga, Bianca.
Damn it.
That's a good... That
you, I'm supposed to be part of six book clubs. My brain is fried.
You would love it. You would love Saga, but read it. When you get to it, please let me know. It's on there.
She's like, it's on there. It's on there.
Just, I'm serious. You would love Saga. So, after Dallas, we have Hotel Oblivion coming out. It was announced officially in 2009 at the San Diego Comic-Con. And then July 21st, 2017, which was last year, Dark Horse announced Hotel Oblivion will be released this year, 2008. We're not sure when it comes out. I'm going to actually like announce it on Twitter. We might do like a first impressions episode on one of the issues of Hotel Oblivion. So that would be like pretty cool. Do you want to talk about the short stories or? Because we didn't read the short stories, y'all. So I can mention the titles.
Yeah, I didn't read the short stories because I've been having connection issues off and on just reading the original two. It keeps telling me something's crashed, something won't load, it's not available.
Okay.
I've been on struggle points here.
It looks like a lot of the stories were originally seen on MySpace. We have Mandu. Which was released in November, which was released November 2nd, 2006. Ellipses, which is what I'm playing .. So, but the past ain't through with you was released May 5th, 2007. We have Safe and Sound, which was released July 2007, and Anywhere But Here I can't find when that was released. And so for the future of this, the franchise altogether, there's a Netflix show that's coming out possibly this year or the next.
Yeah, little discrepancies between a couple different agencies, it looks like.
But. Yeah. So it's developed by Steve Blackman. He's best known for Fargo, the TV series, and Altered Carbon. So I believe that Umbrella Academy will be like a good place, since Altered Carbon, from what I was seeing of it, was actually like pretty good. We have a cast of Ellen Page as Vanna, Tom Hopper as Luther, Robert Sheehan as Klaus, Emmy Raver Lampin as Allison, David, I'm getting ready to mess up his name, Castaneda. Thank you.
Castaneda.
As Diego, and Aiden Gallagher as number 5, aka the boy. And like I mentioned before, Mary J. Blige will be Cha-Cha. Cameron Britton as Hazel. Sir Reginald Hargreaves will be played by Combe. I always mess up these names.
Fiore.
Thank you, honey. See, this is why she's here.
And when I see Fiore, the first thing that comes to my mind is Fairy Tale. So we're just going to let that slide to the left here.
And then we have Adam Godley as Pogo and John
McGarro.
Thank you, because I got a little blind there.
It's okay. I was paying attention, I promise.
As Leonard Peabody. Okay. I don't know who Leonard Peabody is. Who's that?
I have no clue.
Yeah, I'm confused by that. And then we have Ashley
Mataqui?
I don't know. As Detective Patch. I'm not sure who that's supposed to be. Is she supposed to like replace
the Detective Lupo?
Inspector Lupo. And then we have Kate Walsh as the handler.
So I have a question. Maybe I have a statement on this instead.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I have a sense that those last three, they may try and expand the series a little bit?
And I wonder, are they going to appear in Hotel Oblivion? We'll see.
But then why do the third one, Hotel Oblivion, and not hit the first two?
Huh? What'd you say? Repeat that, please.
Oh, not a problem. Why pick the cast for Hotel Oblivion if you haven't even put the first two on TV? So, are them three going to play?
No, like I mentioned before, this is coming out maybe this year or next. So, we don't know really what's going on. production-wise. And Hotel Oblivion is coming out this year. So, by the time the TV show comes out, these new characters may be appearing in it. Or these new characters are just made for the television show. We don't know. We'll see. All right, folks. There is no first impressions on this episode today.
Because it is a first impression.
This episode is all first impressions. So, Bianca, where can we find you?
Surprisingly, Facebook and Instagram, I'm Angel Raven Dove 88. On Twitter, I'm at Twist and Twirl 88, since I seem to have curly hair, and that's the easiest way. I was lazy when I created it. Don't judge me. This whole thing has confused me today.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
It don't take very much, though, but...
Yay! And, let's see. So, you can follow me, folks, at A-L-E Overton on Twitter. You can follow the podcast on Instagram and Twitter at Who's Impressed. Our website is www.whosimpressed.com, and you can email us if you have like a question, a statement, or whatever at whosimpressed@gmail.com. And folks, that is it. If you guys read The Umbrella Academy, just hit us up on the Twitter and tell us what you think about it. Alright, folks.
Sorry, don't find us from being confused.
Yeah, well, yeah, that too. Alright, folks. Later.